you know, just try to be conscious that I have a small sphere of influence in the people that I can reach through poetry, and if they can, you know, even just spend a little bit of time sort of working through a poem as a way to understand a particular perspective on the world and what kind of politics emerge from that perspective, then that's great, even if they end up not agreeing with me at all.
Over which you have no control whatsoever.
Right.
You have influence, is the way I think of
Opened it.
Opened it up. Yeah. What do you think of this, folks?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Oh, thank you for that a thoughtful disquisition. Well, we're just about out of time. I will ask one more tiny question, so give me a tiny answer. What are you reading now?
I am reading a book by Sarah Pinsker, who's a speculative fiction author. It's called A Song for a New Day, or Song for a New Day.
Mm-hmm.
And she wrote, I'm reading it because she wrote a book of short stories called Sooner or Later, Everything Must Fall into the Sea. That is
great
probably the
title.
Might be the best book I've read in a year or two. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Sarah Pinsker.
Yes.
Okay, folks, that's the recommendation for the evening from our guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Jennifer.
This is wonderful.
Yeah, I love this. This is great. Okay, so, folks, next month's Poetry and Everything will air at 10 p.m. on Monday, November 25th. And after that, just like this show, it'll be on the net forever, or as I like to say, as long as the net lasts. And finally, remember, support your local independent bookstores, your independent reading series, and independent radio. Good night.
And it's 11 p.m. This is Portland. Did it again. KBOO Portland. Coming up is the Holy Crowley Hour with Ken Jones, but first, these words.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Muertos PDX Dia de los Muertos celebration on Friday, November 1st, and Saturday, November 2nd, from 4 to 9 p.m. at St. Andrew Catholic Church in Portland. This two-day event celebrates the ancient tradition of welcoming back loved ones who have passed on. There will be altar building, Muertos face painting, sugar skull decorating, traditional Mexican food, drink, and live musical performances. It's a benefit for Transiciones, a program at Mount Hood Community College that has helped Latino women for close to 20 years in reaching their academic and career goals. Again, that's a Muertos PDX Dia de los Muertos celebration on Friday, November 1st and Saturday, November 2nd from 4 to 9 p.m. at St. Andrew Catholic Church, 806 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Weird Portland Gala on Thursday, November 7th from 7:30 to 11 p.m. at Polaris Hall in Portland. The Weird Portland Costume Gala and Live Auction will bring together many of Portland's notable eccentrics, including Mo Show the Cat Rapper, former Mayor Bud Clark, Rojo the Llama, Mr. Statue, and Portland's own Elvis. Again, that's the Weird Portland Gala on Thursday, November 7th from 7:30 to 11 p.m. at Polaris Hall, 635 North Killingsworth Court in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for the Holy Crowley Hour.
Okay, boys and girls, let's go! Ow. We're all right. Another wretched morning, a wretched October day. No sound of angels in the trees. Christmas is far away.
Good evening, and welcome to the special Halloween edition of the Holy Crowley Hour, the only radio show that gives out full-size candy bars at the door. For those of you who are not on a sugar high, you might be asking yourself, what is the Holy Crowley Hour? Well, sometime several years ago, a KBOO talk show caller made an accusation. She claimed that there were several late-night DJs at the station who belonged to an Aleister Crowley cult. Aleister Crowley, for those of you who don't know, was a remarkable Englishman who lived from 1875 to 1947. He founded the religion of Thelema and styled himself a prophet leading humanity into a new age of self-realization. He was also accused by some of being a Satanist, and the press at the time denounced him as the wickedest man in the world. Those were more innocent times. Now back to that KBOO caller. In her defense, she was partly right. Many of our late-night DJs, myself included, are members of a cult, and this cult is led by a Crowley. However, it's not the cult led by Aleister Crowley. Rather, it's the one led by his brother, Carl. Carl Crowley. Carl is Aleister's little-known brother, and that's just the way he wants it. You're probably wondering by now, is there any difference between the two Crowley cults? Well, yes, there are some major differences. For instance, Aleister Crowley's cult has but one commandment, do what thou wilt. Carl Crowley's cult also has but one commandment, do what I tell you. And that's the commandment we follow here on the Holy Crowley Hour. Whatever Carl tells me to say and play on the show, that's what I say and play. I do what I'm told and have no voice in what you're about to hear. The programming is under Carl's complete control. However, I will say it's fortunate for you, the listener, that Carl Crowley has impeccable taste. I'll be playing radio, theater, podcast, comedy, novelty bits, and a few tunes guaranteed to entertain and enlighten, which is a whole lot better than I can say for some cults that have absolutely no sense of taste, like the cult that runs the Providence Hotel chain. If I were a member of that cult, you might be listening to a sad story right now about how buying an ambassadorship to the EU might not be the best use of $1 million. So stick around for another exciting episode of the Holy Crowley Hour. We'll be back in a moment after stuffing our mouths with a handful of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. You're listening to the Holy Crowley Hour, the radio show that tastes like pumpkin spice. Our guests tonight are the audio theater team of Joe Medina and Jamie Lawson, collectively known as Olean Productions. Joe and Jamie are pioneers of the podcast revolution, starting their award-winning audio horror anthology After Hell back in 2004, and they're both MVPs in Portland's radio theater community for their own work and their collaboration with Willamette Radio Workshop and other practitioners of the art. We're fortunate to have them with us here tonight. Well, actually, we're recording this on a rainy Saturday afternoon, but it's radio. Close your eyes, and it's almost like they're right there with you in your living room or your bedroom, or climbing the stairs from your living room to your bedroom very slowly. Step by creaky step. You really ought to get that creak fixed. Disguised as vampires, very thirsty vampires, though maybe you think, just maybe, it's not a disguise. Joe and Jamie, thanks so much for joining us on the Holy Crowley Hour and putting up with this nonsense.
Glad to.
It's Halloween. I had to have some kind of opening here.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now, Joe, you and Jamie started After Hell in 2004, years before the current cornucopia of podcasts. We've got kind of a glut right now. What was the landscape for audio theater like then, and what got you started?
The landscape of audio theater at the time was fairly sparse. I mean, there were a couple of groups out there around the country. And I was somewhat aware of the Willamette Reader Workshop at the time because I loved The Shadow, and they performed The Silent Avenger at least a few times live.
Which was a Shadow episode?
Yeah. One of the first that had Orson Welles in the role of The Shadow.
Was Sam Mowry doing the Orson Welles part?
Absolutely.
I know you guys have had a long relationship working together.
Yeah, actually, the work we've done on the After Hell series drew their attention, and
it's kind of funny because when I first got the email from Sam to, you know, meet up and let's talk shop a bit, my first thought was, the shadow wants to talk to me.
Yes.
It's the shadow. It's the freaking shadow, man. It's the shadow. So I got a little starstruck, a little geeky when I saw that. And despite all of my, you know, being somewhat dazzled, you know, by his performances, we had a very casual talk at a Starbucks around the corner. You know, Sammy Mowry, Cindy McGeehan, you know, the two people who run the Willamette Radio Workshop, and Mark Rose of Transdimensional Media, and I think he's doing Fuse Audio right now. And
he did some music for some of your episodes, too.
He did, wonderfully. I love working with him.
We were talking before the show how lucky we are to be in Portland for a radio theater. It's really a vibrant community.
Absolutely. I mean, that was the thing that really struck us, because we were total newbies at this. You had asked about the landscape of audio at the time.
Right.
We came into it by virtue of science fiction fandom, of doing, you know, sort of very amateurish fan audio projects, just like, you know, like fan fiction.
Were these recorded audio or were they live on stage?
They were recorded. Uh-huh. I came into it somewhat deluded, or should I say misled, because the fans we had met were in Anaheim, and they would tell us about their studio, and the more I had worked with them, mainly just to get a feel for what it was like to actually write radio, because, you know, I like any writer likes to develop their skill set, and I've loved audio ever since I was a kid.
Yeah, I noticed on your website, or maybe in a previous interview, you had mentioned a few shows, The Shadow and the original, not just the Willamette Radio Workshop version of it, Lights Out. Mm-hmm. And then you said growing up in the Bay Area, and this is where the science fiction comes in, mm-hmm. you were a fan of a Saturday night show, and there must have been one in every city, called Creature Features.
That's right.
With a ghoulish host or and playing the cheesiest monster movies.
Yeah, basically, yeah. In the San Francisco Bay Area, it was a surprisingly unghoulish, deadpan kind of delivery from a guy called Bob Wilkins, and his this was just before Saturday Night Live, so he would just up and tell you, you know this one isn't a very good movie, don't stay up and watch it. and his show and his appearances sort of became sort of a focal point for a lot of people who loved fantasy fiction and horror movies and science fiction shows and things like that.
Yes, so much so that in the Bay Area right now, there's a group of people working out of Santa Rosa who have sort of recreated Creature Features.
Oh no!
Like on public
television or something like that, or a community TV.
Right. They have their own low power TV station called North Bay TV, and they also share the Creature Features program basically with anybody who wants to run it.
And they have a Bob Wilkins type character doing the deadpan delivery and telling viewers not to watch the movie.
they've changed the lineup. They've created their own characters, including a somewhat addled, washed up glam rock star. Uh-huh. And his very creepy butler and his wonderfully creepy assistant. It's really hard to tell. The characters kind of like basically have fun, you know, mugging at each other while they're trying to convince everyone to watch these movies.
And what are the movies? Are they the same that they used to show on Creature Features? I'm thinking probably Godzilla, movies like that, Mothra.
Stuff like that to some extent, but also in the same tradition as Bob Wilkins's Creature Features. Also drawing in you know, locally produced, you know, just amateur talent, amateur films. You know, just encouraging people to be creative and really dive into creating horror and you know, and showing up at conventions and all of that stuff.
So that was very inspiring to you and in your own work getting started with After Hell.
Yeah, very much, because I had to hide my work doing it, you know, writing and producing After Hell from my own mother, because she was a very, very Catholic person.
Meaning anti-horror movies?
Anti-fantasy in general.
So you like snuck around with the books and movies and the audio, things like that, without your mom knowing?
I did. Whoa. Yeah, it's just, it wasn't always...
You're going straight to hell, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, like, this is not the first time I've heard this somehow. I guess that's why I ended up doing After Hell, because it's like, okay, fine, I'm here.
Right. It's not as bad as I thought.
No, it's pretty much as bad as I thought. And here I am to tell you how bad it is, but it's not my fault.
Yeah. Well, I hope your mom's not listening, but there's two other influences I wanted to talk about here. One was a series, until I prepped for our interview, I had never heard of. It's called Nightfall.
That's right.
And it was on CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Company or Corporation. Mm-hmm. And it started in 1980. It ran for about 100 episodes. You could still find them online. There's people who loved them and collected them, you know, loved them like you did.
Yeah.
And they were pretty spooky. In fact, it was controversial and was taken off the air. Several episodes were, because apparently they were so scary or offensive in some way.
Yeah. There were several episodes that they did that would be offensive to this day. Like, I mean, they went with very gory sound effects. I mean, they
like the sound of an axe hitting a skull or something like that, or
the most
beheading.
The most notorious one they did was this very juicy, splattery sound of a guy tearing out his own heart.
I read about that on the fan site for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, they mentioned that was one of the most controversial ones.
Yeah, and it's like,
Isn't that the power of audio, though?
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's simulated. Nothing's happening. You're not watching somebody tear out his heart. But you're getting the full effect, maybe even more so than the visuals, because it's all the sound is like creating these images in your mind, and there's probably nothing more effective than that.
Yeah, I mean, radio delivers the intensity of theater, but the intimacy of reading.
Yes, and almost everybody I talk to who does radio and audio will mention that intimacy word.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the sound of the human voice up close like that. It is very intimate. Almost any DJ on the radio, but especially radio theater, where the voices are designed to do that and to kind of create images for you, help you create those images in your head.
Yeah, that was the real attraction for me to do a horror project in audio. You know, just to be able to really dig into the full power of the medium and explore it and really test myself as a creator, I guess.
Oh. And Jamie, I want to get to you. What attracted you to the horror genre? Did you didn't have a mom like Joe's. you had free rein to go out and seek whatever entertainment you desired?
Yes. I actually... for a short time lived in the Bay Area during the heyday of Creature Features.
You know the show.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a Bob Wilkins fan, I hope.
Yes, definitely. My friends and my best friend and I would watch it together, and our favorites were the Godzilla movies, because we could dub in, you know, Godzilla's comments and stuff long before Mystery Science Theater.
You were a pioneer then. They should have paid you some licensing fees, but I think a lot of us did that. But yeah, so the Godzilla movies were in Japanese, and you were kind of translating your own custom translation in English.
Right, especially with the monsters themselves. We would, you know, Godzilla's roars would, you know, get their own English translation, which was a lot of fun. I have you know, in my history, I tended a bit more toward fantasy than horror, but late adolescence, I developed a fascination with vampires, which I have to this day, and started trying to write vampire stories. And
there's one particularly good one in Volume 2 of After Hell, I should mention, that you and Joe co-wrote.
Correct. That was, that came out of when we were living in San Jose. We lived in the south part of town, and on summer mornings, when the breeze was coming from the south, you could smell the garlic from, you know, from the fields around Gilroy, you know, 20 miles to the south.
The garlic capital of the world, they like to call themselves.
Correct.
Nobody will dispute it. That's
the and certainly not vampires.
Right. So I sort of got the idea in my head of, you know, the last surviving vampire trapped in Gilroy.
And, and that was the germ of the story.
Exactly.
Yeah, we won't be playing that today. We'll be playing the pilot episode, so Dark Descent, to give listeners a taste of it. But let's get a little bit more into the series itself. It's an anthology series rather than a serialized story, which a lot of podcasts today are, audio dramas. You know, they tell the story and maybe over several seasons, but certainly over several episodes, 8 to 10 episodes. You tell a complete story in each episode rather than this continuing story. And in that respect, it follows in the tradition of shows like The Shadow, Lights Out, and Nightfall. What were your reasons for wanting to do an anthology so you wouldn't be stuck with one story and you can kind of explore different characters and different premises and plots?
I think I just got tired of having to do stories that were like really heavily serialized and dependent on a really detailed backstory or continuity. Mm-hmm. You know, that my experience with doing fan projects, I think I just got a little tired of trying to keep track of everyone else's trivia.
Oh, and it does require a lot of structuring because you usually want to end each episode on a cliffhanger just to keep the listener going. But those great shows that we mentioned that influenced you mm-hmm. were anthologies. They're pretty much a complete story in each episode.
Nightfall definitely was though in a more vicious vein than say The Twilight Zone or Night Gallery.
Yeah, once a guy tears his heart out, you can't go very far from there. You know, you can't continue that for another 8 episodes, right?
That was the other attraction for me to take the same approach in After Hell, just the suspense of whether or not these characters are going to survive. It's like we could just kill it. You have a total, you know, TPK, total party kill, you know, with an episode if we want to. So that basically gives everybody an opportunity to just really cut loose and really develop the suspense. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We should get into the premise itself. There's some kind of apocalypse where planet Earth has replaced Hell. And as you say in the show, this is the home of the damned. This is the after Hell. I need Sam Mowry's voice to say that. What was your inspiration? How'd you go about building this nightmarish world?
In a weird way, it was kind of made for me. What inspired After Hell was several years before, and sometime in the 90s, I went through a really stressful period. A lot of depression and anxiety that I'm still dealing with to this day really kicked in at that time. Just some really dysfunctional relationships that we've thankfully excised from our lives. But the stress, you know, the panic attacks and all of that would basically culminate in a never-ending series of nightmares that would not let me sleep for weeks.
Wow. And After Hell was one of those nightmares?
After Hell was basically an attempt to exorcise those nightmares from my mind, to give them
wow.
a place of their own to exist.
I think that if you could kind of put the appeal of horror in just a few words, I think that's it for most of us. I've certainly heard that. Mm-hmm. I mean, people go to horror movies to get scared and to exercise their own personal demons in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and most people don't seem to appreciate the fact that horror in general, in a weird way, is a safe space. You know, it's a sandbox where we work out our darkest, nastiest, to borrow a line from Harlan Ellison.
Who's one of your favorites. Your blog, yes.
Oh, good, okay. But he often referred to certain mortal dreads that we all share. And, you know, at the time, that really appealed to me, that it's like, look, I'm going through this. This is really extreme, but maybe I'm not alone. And to be able to share anything with somebody, you know, something personal, makes you feel less alone. So After Hell was basically an attempt to wrangle this shit, if you'll pardon my expression.
We can actually use that. Yeah, this will be airing.
Oh, awesome.
Yes, 11 p.m. So
I can stop being nice. Yeah. Okay. I'll try not to abuse this new power.
Right.
but yeah, it was just a very raw, visceral, you know, psychic material, if you will. And I wanted a place where it was like, it could have a place of its own. It obviously needed to exist. I needed to deal with all sorts of things at the time. So, and the one thing I learned doing a serious study of horror fiction and how to create it, you know, led me to realize, you know, this isn't just sensationalism. This isn't just, you know, in your face subversion, rudeness for its own sake. This wasn't like trolling the squares or whatever.
You weren't just trying to shock people. In other words, there was more of a reason behind it.
Yeah, and even then, shocking an audience is hardly the worst thing you could do. Sometimes we just need to be shaken out of our complacency.
I would say boring an audience is probably the worst thing you can do.
Well, it's really, you know, for me, it's a really tough call whether which is worse, to, you know, to bore an audience or to deceive them. Mm-hmm. You know, to not simply tell them a story that about something that never happened, but I mean just to genuinely misinform them about how the world works or how people genuinely function. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole different issue.
Jamie Lawson and Joe Medina, again, thanks very much for being here tonight on the Holy Crowley Hour, our Halloween special.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
We would be remiss if we didn't play you an episode of After Hell. Might as well start at the very beginning, After Hell Volume 1, titled Dark Descent, which will be taking over your radio for the next 30 minutes as the announcer cautions, subject matter might not be suitable for all listeners. Listen at your own peril.
The world slides into an ancient madness. Planet Earth becomes new hell. The change came with such ease, such grace, that humanity went from unlocked doors to monthly mass murders. No one knows when that transition began, but many can point to the first sign, when the madness was too obvious to ignore, when it was too late.
Of the mass murderer known as the Tank, the entire city is officially under a state of emergency. For the latest on this story, we continue our live simulcast with Nathan Lau in the WRX traffic copter. Nate.
This is Nathan Lau. I'm now over the Corbin District near the neighborhood at Simonetti and East 23rd. Police are blocking the streets, taping off the area, evacuating everyone. Danger advisories are still in effect. I can't stress that enough.
Nate, can you see the damage?
Yeah, the air's full of smoke, but can you see that?
I don't have a video monitor.
A trail of destruction right through those houses, right through those neighborhood.
Are these houses where the murders took place?
That's right. The Miller house to my right, the Brancatos and the Hammett's on the lower left. It's as if a bulldozer has run a trench straight through each house. All that's left in the Tank's wake.
I'm sorry, Nate. I'm going to have to stop you there. We have something new coming in. We have word that the tank is on Highway 23 attacking rush hour traffic. We're looking for confirmation and... Okay, right now we have a caller on a cell phone from Highway 23. Can you give us your name?
Yeah, Terry Kleinbart.
Terry, can you tell us what's going on where you are?
Okay, all the cars here are gridlocked. We're stuck here.
We understand. The tank is heading in your direction. Can you see him?
No, but I heard someone was calling 911 a few cars down the road and...
Terry, are you there? Can you hear me?
Hello? Anyone there?
Yes, we're still on the air. Are you all right?
A couple cars in the northbound. They just went off. Jesus, people are getting shot at. They're climbing over the barrier. And God, they're dropping right into the southbound lanes.
Terry, if you can hear me, are you there?
Everyone's running out of their cars. I really ought to... I see him.
Can you describe him? Quickly.
Dark hair. Real muscular. He's huge. I swear, he's 7 feet tall. Literally 7 feet tall. 300 pounds at least.
Terry, if you're in any danger, get out of there.
I'm not sure what
he's
wearing.
Call us back later.
Like a plain shirt and jeans.
Can you hear me?
I'm sure, it's all covered. And I don't see a gun. He's got this big hunting knife. God!
Terry, what is it? What's happening? Can you...
It's somebody's head, damn it! It's somebody's head!
Inna, can we break? I have to break.
Counselor.
Lieutenant Hartwell, you've got your own little army out here.
Guilty. If the tank shows his ugly face, I'm going to throw everything we got at the bastard.
You could have called in before you got it. Or does he have a police scanner or something?
I don't know what he's got. Or what he can do. That's why we're clearing out the whole neighborhood. At worst, there won't be anyone else between him and us.
He's coming this way?
Well, that's what we think, anyway. We're playing on a hunch from Detectives Moore and Fineman.
See, they were on the Cambrian rape case, right?
Yeah, they're the closest thing we got to experts on this. Unless we reach Quantico.
We should have heard by now.
I know.
Any ID on the perp? Something besides the tank?
Just descriptions.
Well, so much for a warrant.
The least of our problems.
Look, we're doing this by the numbers, Lieutenant. No one's declared martial law. Police blocks, air patrol, sure. But riot gear?
In case someone doesn't want to leave. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, but what about the rest of it? I swear I saw a damn grenade launcher over here.
Gas grenades. Tear gas.
If we were talking about terrorists or something, I could understand.
That might as well be.
We can't justify this. The sheer escalation of force.
Jesus Christ.
I know your job is hard enough. Well, try mine for a minute. The mayor and the news media are all over us, accusing us of imposing martial law.
It was a war zone before we even got here. Look around. See the smoke? Up there on the freeway, 27 burning cars, no survivors. A total 64 casualties, last count. And all we've seen is one perp. Just one.
Do you have anything on him?
Not much.
A rap sheet. Anything. Something I can take back to the DA.
A profile. That's it.
Okay. Do you have it with you?
I got it practically memorized. Power-oriented multiple homicide, possibly triggered by a complete psychotic break due to protracted drug use, psychiatric disorder, or severe emotional trauma. For all the good that'll do.
CSU 1097.
10-4. That was our experts.
Moore and Fineman.
Right. They're with a crime scene unit and a SWAT team. They should be at the Broncato residence by now.
Do you expect them to find something?
Other than bodies? I don't know. We need more info. A lot more.
Mm-hmm. Clear.
Get started.
Hey, Feynman. Little early to send in forensics? Area's not secure yet.
The tank's moved on. He went on to the Jeffries house. He got what he came for.
And he won't double back? You're positive?
Yeah, it fits the profile.
Goal-oriented, power and control issues?
Right.
But that's all we've got on this guy, our profile.
Yeah, we did a good job on it. You'll see.
Detectives Moore and Feynman solve another mystery. I'm just saying, don't get caught up in the analysis. We need more info on the perp. Medical history, something solid.
We can't get anything unless we look. Now, come on. This is as fresh as it gets.
You okay?
Yeah, just the crime scene.
No kidding. Jesus.
No, not that. More like deja vu.
I know what you mean. Mass manufactured housing. They all look the same after a while.
Come on, come on. Nate Lau.
Hey, Dad. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. You had me worried. Was your cell down?
No, but I nearly was. Everything's... Forget it. I've got to focus. Are we live yet?
No, I'm still waiting on everyone downstairs. The minute they patch the phone line, we'll... Hold on. We're on in 5, 4, 3... I have the anchor of the WRX AM Afternoon News right here. Can you tell us what's happening?
Yes, we're moving everyone out of the building with any equipment we can bring along. I'm leaving the studio as we speak. It's just not safe here anymore.
Why? Are you being attacked?
You could say that. A mob has stormed the lobby, breaking glass, throwing chairs. It was like a wave. Security couldn't keep them out. We thought it was a riot, but it was just insane.
Why wasn't it a typical riot?
They're attacking everyone. Even each other. They smashed some windows, tore apart furniture, and we realized they were looking for weapons. Anything they could get. Letter openers, pencils, fire extinguishers, chair legs, handfuls of broken glass.
What are you doing now? Do you have a way out?
Yeah, we're using the emergency exits. We put up barricades and tried to shut down the elevators to keep the others out.
You were on the air when this was happening?
Right. One of our security people, Raymond, was telling me what was happening. He was one of the first.
He figured out what was going on?
No. He was one of the first to join them.
Oh, God.
Okay. I'm okay.
What was that?
Raymond. I never killed anyone before.
Can you tell me what happened? Hello?
He came at me with his nightstick, basically.
Did he say anything?
You had this coming a long time. That's what he said. God, I'm all sticky.
Why did he say that?
Even on my glasses. I'm losing my mind.
Why did he say that? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I gotta get out of here.
Where are you going? Damn it.
What is it?
We're off the air. Hold on. What the hell are you guys doing? Are you even taping this? You can't what?
I can't hear them.
They said they can't let somebody overhear us. We're off the air. What are they talking about? I can hear shouting and... Christ! Sounds like they're busting up equipment.
God, it's starting. You're getting it too. Get out of there, Nate. Leave.
Are we fueled up yet? Where are you going? Do you have an escape plan?
Someone's getting the motor tracks truck, but I...
A radio station remote? Where?
Just go, damn it. They won't just kill you. Not if they like you. For God's sake, go, Nate.
Okay, relax. We'll be fine. Call back in 5 minutes. Christ, let's go. Now!
CSU 10-8, code 4.
10-4.
Feynman!
Dining room.
What's this?
Just a family portrait. Trying to look really Norman Rockwell.
Looks normal enough?
It has to be. To keep everything hidden. Petty dysfunctional crap. All the little mind games and reality wars. What?
Christ, listen to yourself. You need a vacation.
So you keep saying. You my travel agent now?
I know one. You'll like her.
Here we go.
Well, you ought to get out once
More.
In a while.
Everybody, we got bodies here.
Where? I don't see any... Hey, someone opened their Christmas presents early.
Maybe. There's a case here for a hunting knife. Fresh from the dealer. Knife gone. Over there are some boxes of 9mm ammo.
We can match those with the empties later. Whoa. There are bodies here. A woman, two teenagers, male and female, one adult male. Jesus. Took a couple of gunshots. Point blank. Blunt trauma and multiple stab wounds on the rest.
Over here.
You find something? Feynman.
The adult male. It's Christopher Miller.
Wait. We took some Polaroids back at the Miller house. Okay. Let's see if he's...
Right there. Look.
Yeah. Man of the house. How did he get all the way here?
There's blood under his nails.
How can you tell without... Oh, there is. Maybe he got it from the tank in a struggle.
No. From his wife.
Miller killed his wife.
He dug his nails in. Tightening. Driving his fingers into her throat. He wasn't about to let the get away.
Hey! I don't need a reenactment. What's the matter with you?
That's what happened.
What you think happened? You weren't there to see it, were you? Were you?
No.
Seriously, now. How are you getting all this?
Just fits, all right? Miller strangled his wife and the tank came in.
And carries Miller's body 3 or 4 blocks?
No. He didn't have to.
Why? Why didn't he?
What's happening to me?
You tell me. Are you okay? How do you feel?
Scattered. I swear, it's like I've been here before.
A while ago, you said something about déjà vu.
Yeah, but it's more than that. I know where everything is. Right where I thought it should be.
Are you getting visions or something?
No, don't be an ass.
Then what? Where is all this coming from?
I don't know. That's what's driving me... I've got to do something. If I could just figure it out, or...
Or what? Where are you going? Feynman, wait! What the hell are you doing? You nearly took off without me.
I couldn't wait. If I'm getting a handle on the tank, I'm going to use it.
Okay. What's going on?
Remember what he said on the radio just before he killed that commuter?
I couldn't make it out.
I did. I know I did. Why did the Reaper cross the road? To get more of you chickens.
He's looking for new victims.
Worse, he's made a statement that he can do all the damage he wants. Now he's looking for something specific. Or someone. He's harvesting.
Looking for the cream of the crop. Jesus, we need so much backup. Unit 17, code 2, code 2. Where do I say that...
Can't comply, 17. We're being overwhelmed.
Hartwell, do you... Turn around. The tank's attacking the blockade.
It's not him.
The blockade's getting attacked by somebody.
It's not the tank. But he's close. Whatever he's doing, it's going down right now, and I want to be there.
Damn it. Why doesn't anybody answer? Nate Lau.
I can hear you up there.
What?
In the sky. I can barely see you, but I hear you coming.
Who is this? How did you get this number?
I will not answer that question on the grounds that it may incriminate me.
What the?
This is Lieutenant Hartwell of the Olean Police Department. For the last time, you are hereby ordered to put down your weapons and disperse. Otherwise, you will be subdued by any means necessary. Put your weapons down and leave the area. This is your final warning.
God, is everything all right? Do you need help?
Oh, no thanks. We've had enough of your help.
What are you?
You animals! I've seen it. So much. Too many things in common. So much that's the same, but the rest, it's all like... like aliens.
I don't know. Sounds like assistant
oh,
district
God,
attorney.
Why did we have to stay so apart? It's so much harder. Building, destroying, listening, shutting out. Windows, glass, bricks, hands, but they can all be broken.
Listen to me, listen. This is Nathan Lau, WR...
That's what we're doing. Breaking free.
Code 30, code 30. Postman, Northwest Bradford, code 30. Code 30, code 30.
Wait a minute. Take a second to...
Don't patronize me. You're no different. I hear you. I see you coming, watching, using what you see, staying out of reach. You look down at everyone and you keep yourself at a distance. You like to watch, but you don't like to be touched. You're a coward, a thief.
Stop! Help! Help! Somebody help!
What are you doing?
No, let him go!
Getting rid of the taint. Taking the power that should have gone to all of us.
What power?
You abuse it!
God, stop, please!
Wait, you don't have to do this. Those people, it's not their fault. They haven't done anything.
Liar! You tried to make us alike, steal our power, enslave us. You had your chance. It's our turn now. We're just taking what's yours.
Help me.
Make it stop. God, please, make it stop.
Knife and let her go. Christ, another tank?
No, same one.
But he's like an old man pumped full of steroids.
Or a bodybuilder stuffed inside an old man's skin. But that's the knife from the Brancatos.
Drop it!
Back off, and next time I cut deep. Put the guns down.
You'll just kill her anyway.
I'll kill her now.
Then you're short one body shield. Let her go, and we put down our guns.
Get your own.
All right, you want to show what you can do? Take a cop.
Don't be a moron.
An authority figure. Fair exchange. My partner can move her out of the way, and I'll walk over. None of us will get a clear shot. Nothing will happen. Okay?
This way, ma'am. It's gonna be okay.
Stay with her. I got him.
Just head for the car.
You first. Damn it! And you called me a moron. We move when you're ready.
Okay. Now!
Go down the road and get some help. Go. Get out of here.
What are you doing? Come on, don't stay. Ma'am, are you okay?
Yeah, just trying to think straight. I can get you to the hospital or something.
There's a checkpoint. If you... Can you hand me the... Yeah, thanks. Code 30. Code 30. This is unit...
I see now. I have the demon lens. You can't touch us now.
Where is that coming from?
Everywhere, I think.
You are under arrest. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used against you in a court of law.
You let two of them live.
You're bleeding to death. You don't have a lot of time.
Long enough to show you.
Show me what?
You know the way. I think you'll like the decor.
Where is everyone? God, no.
Now that was tough. I could have gotten a ladder, but the stairs are right here. And such craftsmanship. Finding your way around, Mr. Feynman?
Yeah. Somehow. I know this place. You know me?
Of course. You belong to me now.
Go to hell.
Well, here we are. Mind you, this place is much better than the old one.
Shut up. I'm not listening.
Or thinking. Look, you don't think I did this all alone, do you? This body is old, but a young man in good shape who knows how to...
Get a grip, man. Focus. Stay focused. It's right in front of you.
What you don't see won't admit to. Exiled to the shadows as if you had no use for us.
Shadows. Self and shadow. But that doesn't mean they're evil.
It does now.
Why? Why now? What gives you the right?
The right? You keep us caged and underfed like unwanted pets. You all did. Now we're free.
So that's all you are? Lunatics taking over the asylum?
The symptom is not the disease. That's you. We're just the madness you worked so hard to deny. Mirror, mirror.
All this.
On the wall.
No, that's not me. But there are times when I start to think they'd be better off.
You look in the mirror. Sometimes we look back. We saw you.
I didn't do this. I couldn't. I wasn't even here. How could I?
Not just you. Us. You're closer, that's all.
You think you know me? Freeze! Stop right there! Freeze, damn it!
You can't lock us out anymore.
No! It ends here. With me.
We'll smash in your doors. Then your skulls.
No!
Like it or not, we're coming in.
No! Just me. No one else. Just me.
Testing 1, 2, 3. This is Nathan Lau, WRX. Not much point in saying that anymore, is there? I just want to keep a record in case... I'm in the WRX traffic copter near the Matthews exit on Highway 23. Cars are on fire, running the length of the freeway, wreck after wreck. The city is burning and tearing at itself like a 5-mile-long psychopath.
a sea of humanity drowning itself. It's been calling me, the city, everyone in it, revealing its ugly secrets. There are so many. It wasn't supposed to be like this. Was it?
Here.
What was that?
Here.
The radio scanner? Here, I'll get it.
Is there anyone receiving? Can anyone hear me? This is Detective Moore, Homicide.
Yeah, I can hear you. This is Nathan Lau, WRX.
Send help. Send help. We need medics. We're on Jeter, close to Phillips and Kay.
I think I see you. Hold on. Can we go down there? Do it. We're losing daylight. Nate Lau again. Are you receiving?
Yeah, Moore here.
Detective, the roads are blocked off all around. Is anyone else with you?
Just one, but...
Hold on, okay? We'll try to get you out.
10-4.
How's our fuel? Fine, we'll walk the rest of the way. Go!
He needs a doctor.
You take the front seat with the pilot.
Shouldn't we get that knife out?
Don't touch it.
Okay, we move on 3.
Just do it.
Okay, I'm in. Go, go!
God, we'll get you some help as soon as we can.
Okay.
What happened?
I was covering my partner. Got nailed, but good.
The bleeding isn't too bad.
Yeah, but still.
Just get me somewhere.
Sure, we're on our way. I hate to ask, but I can't help but wonder.
Yeah.
Do you know how many cops are left?
I don't know.
Every car in town must be down there. They're all going crazy, aren't they?
Is that gun loaded?
Yeah. It's cool.
Thanks to the heroic rescue by Nathan Lau and the WRX TV copter crew. We've begun to reconstruct the final hours when civilization fell. Detective David Fineman was found several days later with a self-inflicted gunshot wound at the scene of a horrific massacre. WRX AM will be signing off now to conserve power. We will continue to broadcast any information we can find. If we can't continue broadcasting on this frequency, keep listening, if you can. Good luck.
This is how it began. In blood, ash, and despair. In a fit of prophecy, Goethe described this new hell. We do not have to visit a madhouse to find disordered minds. Our planet is the mental institution of the universe. Consider that on your way back to the light. Until next time.
You're listening to the Holy Crowley Hour on KBOO Portland, the radio station that is all tricks and no treats. We just heard After Hell, Volume 1. The title is Dark Descent, and that comes from our guests tonight, Joe Medina and Jamie Lawson of Olean Productions. You can find out more about the After Hell podcast on their website, afterhell.com, and the Olean Productions Facebook page. Well, that's all for this episode of the Holy Crowley Hour. If there's even the slightest possibility you like what you heard tonight, you can tune in every fourth Monday of the month from 11 p.m. to midnight, and you can stream and download previous episodes from our Holy Crowley Hour page on the KBOO website, kboo.fm. Many thanks to our guests tonight, Joe Medina and Jamie Lawson of Olean Productions. Also, big thanks to Crowley Cult member Jason Harder and to Jeff Henderson for engineering tonight's show. I'm your host, Ken Jones, saying see you all again next month, Monday, November 25th, 2019, at 11 p.m. for our Thanksgiving show. In the meantime, I'll be heading outside the KBOO studios to catch a ride back to Carl Crowley headquarters in Beaverton. We'll be getting our costumes ready for Thursday night's trick-or-treating. This year, I'll be going as ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, and Carl will be going as Rudy Giuliani, the resemblance, not to mention the mutual lack of ethics, is uncanny. Good night, everyone. Joe Woods coming up next with Faraway Places, or as we like to call it, After Dark.
KBOO Portland. And here we are with another edition of where am I again? Oh yeah, that's I'm floating down the hallway, nearing the studio. There it is. The red light is definitely on this morning, and I float on into the studio, and I spot that big chair over there. Climb up into that big chair so we can be